W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The U.S., the U.K., and several other nations launched retaliatory strikes against multiple Houthi targets in Yemen following months of the Iran-backed rebels' attacks on commercial ships in the Red Sea.
Our team on the ground in Yemen reports that five cities have now been targeted and hit, including the capital. But the Houthis have been defiant, adamant that they will push back and counter any American aggression. They say they will not back down.
ABC's chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce. The Pentagon's inspector general will investigate the mishandling of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's hospitalization. Hunter Biden pleaded not guilty today to federal tax charges at his arraignment in L.A. The FAA is looking into whether Boeing failed to make sure a panel which blew off an Alaska Airlines 737 MAX 9 in mid-flight was up to regulatory standards. Stocks closed slightly higher today. This is ABC News. A grand jury in Ohio has refused to indict a woman on allegations she mishandled the remains of a fetus after a miscarriage at home. Because the grand jury refused to indict, the case has been dropped. Some $3 billion of new Bitcoin funds changed hands on this first day of trading.
A major move for crypto investing. For the first time, the Securities and Exchange Commission approving the trading of spot Bitcoin exchange-traded funds, or ETFs. It means investors will be able to buy shares in a fund that tracks the value of Bitcoin without the cumbersome process of actually buying the cryptocurrency directly. The move gives further legitimacy to Bitcoin trading and allows fund managers to easily use a Bitcoin ETF as a component of a brokerage-held investment portfolio or even 401k. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The FCC is asking automakers how they plan to protect people from being harassed by partners who have access to their vehicles, location, and other data. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Yonke, on WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force created last summer is introducing 11 bills to fight human trafficking in Wisconsin. State Representative Jody Emerson is a co-chair of the Assembly Speaker's panel with a message for human trafficking victims.
The crime that you were a victim of does not define your life. It is one short chapter in the story that is you. And I think it is our job to make sure that we have the tools available to get them to a better and whole life.
It's not clear if any of the proposals will pass soon, since the current legislative session ends in a few weeks. More people in Wisconsin are enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid than ever before, more than 250,000 as of December 23rd. That's according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The previous record was reached in 2017. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks need a win. They've lost four of their last five games. Tonight, they host the Boston Celtics. The two teams have been battling for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. NFL, the Green Bay Packers had a long practice this afternoon, but veteran defensive back Jaire Alexander hurt again in practice yesterday, twisting his ankle, stepping on someone else's foot during a jog-through practice. He's day-to-day going into Sunday's game against the Cowboys in Dallas. In New England, the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, announcing that after 24 years, Bill Belichick stepping down as head coach.
It's a very emotional day for the organization. You know, the end of an era that'll be hard to be replicated, I think, at least in my lifetime, if ever.
Belichick making this statement.
You know, think about the Patriots and I'll always be a Patriot, but at this time, we're gonna move on.
That's former Patriots head coach Bill Belichick with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue into Saturday. Snow developing late tonight, low in the upper 20s. Then snow showers Friday into Saturday, heavy at times, accumulations 8 to 12 inches. Strong wind gusts above 30 miles an hour will create significant blowing snow. It's 28 degrees right now.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlights. Our question, what is the best movie you've seen this year? The Oscars are right around the corner. We want to know. One texter said, best actor is definitely Brad Cooper as Elmore Bernstein. I think they meant Leonard Bernstein, but I know what movie you meant. Thank you for weighing in. And it is Amanda, Pete's birthday today. She turns 52, and here to help us celebrate it with some good old-fashioned Milwaukee history talk is John Gerda. Thanks so much, John, for sticking around.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so I watched A City Built on Water, your documentary. Thought it was great. I'd love to see more of you in a kayak, to be honest with you. Or on a bike, for that matter. How involved are those shoots? When you did something like that, and you've done many of them, how long do those take to shoot?
We usually do it in two takes, and I think the work, as you know, the work's all up front. You know, the scripting, before the scripting, the research. So it's once you have the storyline, you know, then kind of getting it into a presentable form for TV. You know, that's in many ways the least time consuming.
It's great, though. It's a great contrast to the history. I love how you weave that in and out of there. So tell us, I thought this was interesting, and now I'm getting mixed up. This might have been in your guidebook, but Miller, you said, was became such a big deal because of Milwaukee's proximity to water. It allowed Miller to make their beer the way they did because the water was cold or hard?
I'm not sure what the source there is, Pete, but the reason Miller did well and all the other ones did well is because they were German. You know, that's the fact that Milwaukee had good water was certainly important. And the fact that we had hard water, where we had real winters that would freeze the water and they used
that's
that
what
for
it was.
Cooling before refrigeration. No, that was important. That gave Milwaukee Brewers an advantage over like Anheuser-Busch and the Brewers down in Cincinnati. They talk about the German triangle, you know, Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee became had the strongest cultural life and the biggest brewing establishment too. So Miller was actually, they were kind of an also-ran. No, they were never in the top. Maybe they may have gotten to the top five until the 20th century, but they were kind of a very much a regional, they were a craft brewer back in the so the big ones, Pabst, they were number one back in 1874, and you had this sort of a trio. It was Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis, Pabst and Schlitz. They kind of took turns being number one. Schlitz was number one in 1902, but Pabst had that record for a very long time.
It's so
water was important, but the reason Milwaukee and Wisconsin generally are such a brewing center is the fact that we had so many Germans.
And that's what it was. It was that you said it was they had an advantage over the warmer cities, and I didn't understand. And I've heard a lot of beer. My uncle Pat Murphy was a salesman for Schlitz for decades. And so I've heard a lot of this beer talk, and I always got a big kick out of it. But and I love how you worked in the commercials from the 70s when Miller Lite came out. Tastes great, less filling. I remember seeing those in my sleep because they were on all the time. And you said they pulled every NFL player into them somehow.
Yeah, every sport, you know. I mean, they had, who's that guy, Steve, the pool shark? You know, they had.
Steve Mizrak, yeah.
And Rodney Dangerfield, yeah, they pulled all the stops. That was, talk about saturation advertising. That was certainly a campaign that put them over the top. But what that did was, on the basis of Lite, they moved from, I think they were number seven, they moved up to number two in 8 years. You know, so
it worked. Just
remarkable, remarkable.
And it was Philip Morris. I love that Philip Morris bought it, and they knew how to market stuff, as we all know. So,
Marlboro, that was marketed first of all as a ladies' cigarette, and Lite was sold by Meisterbrau Chicago as a diet beer for women. So they just, it's all marketing.
They tricked men into drinking it.
That's right, real men.
So. So I thought it was interesting too when you talk about Davidson and Harley. Everybody knows the headquarters are in Milwaukee and they're made in America and a lot of the basic history of Harley Davidson. I didn't know. Can you elaborate a little bit about that, about how those two got together and started building motorcycles? That was fascinating.
Yeah, Harley worked in a motorcycle, a bicycle factory in a suburb called North Milwaukee. It was actually a suburb, then it became a neighborhood today. So he and his friend Davidson, there were three Davidsons who got involved, three brothers, one Harley. They began to tinker with ideas for a motorized bicycle. So they had bicycle technology and put a motor on that thing and make it run. And the legend, and it's a real story, but the kind of the holy grail is this 10 by 15 foot wooden shed, like a kid's clubhouse, that stood on 38th and Highland on what is now the Miller Brewing or Molson Coors campus. And if you go to the Harley Museum down there in the Menominee Valley on Canal Street, they have the pride of the place is this 10 by 15 foot lights in the floor, marking the outline of the old shed. And in that, the display case there is number one. And no one's quite sure if it is number one, but no, that's the icon. So that's a great story.
You know, that is great. Do you have, you're a native son of Milwaukee. Do you have a favorite era or favorite year in particular of the city's history?
No, the present, you know, I think that's, you know, people, I think there's a tendency to think about, you know, golden years, golden ages, golden periods. There weren't any. You know, there weren't any. Oh, you can look back at the, say,
even
the 1890s. Pardon?
Even the beer stuff, that whole era when the breweries came up, you wouldn't call that a golden age?
I still hear. people are still drinking beer. But back in the 1890s, you know, when Milwaukee was a factory town, life was simpler. You know, crime was lower. People sort of got along, not entirely. But then, you know, child labor, no vaccines, appalling rates of child mortality. Mm. Milwaukee River was an open sewer, and that is not a metaphor. You had coal smoke just descending and kind of marinating, you know, the entire city. So be careful, you know, when you look back and say this period was somehow better than another.
I think people tend to do that anyway, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And we do. You know, it's kind of glory days. You know, it's kind of Bruce Springsteen.
I crack up when people say, well, when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have these video games. Well, if you did, you would have played them. So that just makes people feel better about themselves, I think, you know.
Adolescence is that's a hard road to hoe, no matter what age you're in.
Right.
So we look back on that with, I think, kind of a misplaced nostalgia.
You talk about the dirty river. It's still brown. What is the deal? Doesn't Fonzie deserve better? Can we put some dye in the river or something in Milwaukee?
Like Chicago,
yeah.
17, turn it green.
I know it's fake, but it looks better than the brown. You know,
been down there, and the motorboats go around there with the running of the propellers on high, you know, high speed, so they can stir it up. The Milwaukee River. The goal is, and this is, yes, it's brown, and I wouldn't swim in it, But the goal of a lot of people who have a lot of passion and a lot of and power as well, you know, to change the river. The goal is a fishable, and which it is now, and swimmable river. They actually had a couple of years ago. They had a race on the river.
Oh, so nice.
brave souls. But what happened was you have the Clean Water Act of 1972, and that made it not just a really bad idea, but it made it illegal to pollute the river. So Milwaukee's solution was the Deep Tunnel Project, went online back in 1993, and that really cleaned things up. You know, certainly it's not a pristine trout stream today, but there are trout in that stream.
Huh.
You know, so you see in fall, especially with the salmon run, people are in waders on the banks. As soon as there are kind of the hard structure, the hard pan is gone up around North Avenue. You know, a lot of people are there. In their waders, hip boots, kind of casting, you know, for some pretty good sized fish. So it's a good story. It's a success story. it is continuing to improve. Not there yet, but you look at the area above North Avenue, that Milwaukee River, 900 acres of green space. They call it the Milwaukee River Greenway. It's an urban wilderness, like few others in the entire country. So again, the Milwaukee green space has always been a really dominant city's history.
We just have a couple minutes left, John. I'm going to go off book a little bit for my own selfish reasons here. Years ago, when I got married, my wife and I met with a priest. I'm primarily Irish, but I have this last name that I was told by a priest is not necessarily Polish or German, Schwabe. It's Kashub. I had never heard of that. My parents and my grandparents had never heard of that. But they were their own people, apparently. And you talk at length about them in The City Built on Water. And there's a little Kashub community in Milwaukee. Can you talk about that?
I'm a quarter Kashub. My grandmother was Kashub.
Well done.
And what it is, Poland had the misfortune of being positioned between Germany on one side and Russia on the other. So having those two kind of bedfellows was hard, made it a very difficult history. So the borders would change for a long time. Germany, Prussia in the earlier years had control of the West, what's now Western Poland. And the Kashubi region, K-A-S-Z-U-B-Y, is the area around Danzig or Gdańsk in north central Poland on the Baltic Sea. And they speak a dialect that is somewhat German influenced, so a bit different from the mainstream Polish dialect. And they had their own strong sense of identity, tradition, folkways, costumes. And at the same time, they were part of the Polish nation. So it's a little like Bavarians or Germans or Pomeranians. You know, they had their own thing, but they were also part of a larger entity, part of the larger country of Poland or the state of Poland, nation of Poland. And they began with the rest of the Poles to move to the United States in the 1860s. And in Milwaukee, the 1870s, it's a great story. We did a whole documentary about it. It's called People of the Port. The story of Jones Island came out just last year. And that streams. So if you're interested in Kashubi, Jones Island, that streams. People of the Port is the name of it. But they came to what's now Milwaukee Harbor, Jones Island, and they fished in the old world and they fished in the new world. So they transplanted their way of life, which was very unusual. The standard practice, as it was for my ancestors, was to be peasants in the old world and factory workers in the new world. And the Kashubs were fisher folk in the old world and transplanted their way of life here. So it's a really interesting story.
I appreciate that, John. I feel a connection with you now that I did not have before you came on the show. So at the very least, we achieved that. We got to run, but I cannot thank you for sticking around this long. This is just so great. Thanks so much for your time tonight. We'll do it again, I hope, if you're willing.
Sure.
All right. John Goethe, thanks so much. In just a couple minutes, my good friend Mike Schmidt will be here to make us laugh. I'm Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to Nightlight, and happy 52nd Amanda Peet's birthday, everybody. This is a big day. We played a clip from The Whole Nine Yards earlier, Conrad's favorite movie. She was not nude in the audio clip we played, so everybody just calm down. Hey, that was really fun with John Goethe. Pick up his book, his guidebook to Milwaukee at johngoethe.com. Really fascinating stuff. It's so much fun to talk to people smarter than me, and I do it all day, every day. So it's fun. I have a lot to learn. Today is National Learn Your Name and Morse Code Day. And I don't know why that day exists. You know what happened, maybe? Technology was moving forward. And the Morse family said, we need to stay relevant somehow. Let's have a national day. Let's force people to learn their names in Morse code. Conrad, your ancestors used to sext in Morse code. What do you think about that?
I'm wondering how that would work, but all right.
I don't think you want to know that, really. I'm sorry I put that in your head. From the 608, Conrad's grandma, she drinks Pabst. All right.
Yeah.
From the 920, Jim from Appleton says, strange, I thought that light beer came from the Meister, I think he means Meisterbrau Brewery in Appleton. It is still operating. I did not know that either, so... We can ask all these questions to my next guest. And one more text. Best film of the year, Barbie. That's the first one we've gotten for Barbie all night. And it's interesting because the guests we've had on the show kind of were like, to Barbie. So Barbie gets a little love. And I've got a lot of love, not in the big way, but in the friendship way for my next guest. His name is Mike Schmidt. He is a very funny comedian, and he hosts the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. And it is my pleasure to welcome him to Nightlight. Hey, Mike.
Pete, did you really have to clarify the level of love you have for me? How disappointing is
that?
Right when I show up.
Yeah, I know. I should have left it open, right? You might have given a little more just on the off chance.
Well, now I'm pulling away. Now I'm backing off. I can't give all of myself to you. You don't love me in the big way.
All right,
just
fine.
Just did it for all to hear.
I love you in the big way. Welcome to Nightlight.
Now I'm happy. Now, you know what? I need? I just need a Johnny Goethe in my life, and I need you loving me in the big way, and that's it. That's all I need.
You got them all here tonight, buddy.
I'm shocked you had Springsteen music on the break and not the Bodines. I thought you would only play exclusively Bodines.
You know
on
what?
Your show.
Conrad, take a memo.
All right.
add it to your memos. Mike, that's so funny you say that because I don't have any Bodines playing us in and out of breaks, and I thought of that like 3 days ago. I'm like, how do I not have any Bodines? So I gotta pick up some Dreams or something and get them in the.
Are you seeing my eyes? How big they are? Are you seeing how wide they are? I'm not kidding. It's an early year. That's the craziest statement I will hear all year.
Your eyes were wider than the guy in the dinghy in Caddyshack when Rodney Dangerfield's boat is heading right toward him. That was brutal. Hey, how are you, Mike? It's great to have you on
the
show.
I'm good, dude. Well, thank you. I'm glad. And I did not. I will say this too. I'm learning all sorts of things about you just in being in the green room. I never knew, Pete.
Yeah.
I never knew that you were the walrus.
Really?
Cuckoo Kashub. I had no idea this was a true statement.
How weird is that? I mean, the Kashubs don't have a day, Mike. We don't have a St. Patrick's Day.
What's wrong with the Kashubs? The Morse code people have a day, for Christ's sake.
right, exactly. Maybe they should just embrace that as their day.
The Kashubs, they just line up with the Morse code
people? They just align themselves. Alliances are important, as we know. And It's funny because I am mostly Irish, so I've always, you know, the Irish side of my family, they will take the little thing and make it sound like it's the biggest thing ever. And then I've got people on the Kashub side that have actually done crazy, amazing historical stuff, and I heard about it 3 years ago. I'm like, that's something maybe you share.
Yeah, right? You would go ahead and cough that up.
You don't have to make it up, yeah.
Look, they're very busy inventing mittens. They're very busy making canoes. I'm sure they're finding all of those things.
Finding a national day.
Of course.
They got to find something.
Look, Ed.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, nothing. Please go ahead. I don't interrupt the Kashub on his own show. I don't
listen,
do it.
I've got a ton of questions for you, Mike.
Is that Jesus? Hold on. Who's talking?
Jesus?
I don't see them in the thing. Is that it? Are you hearing that too, that voice?
No, what's happening? Conrad. Do you hear something?
No.
Mike hears something. Here's religious,
wait, that's him.
Religious awakening.
Wait a minute. That's Conrad.
Oh, he's breathing heavy into the mic. That happens throughout the course of the
Understood.
Show.
No, talk. I heard him talk. Did you say something, Conrad? I'm not insane, correct? I'm not losing my mind.
I didn't say anything.
He digs you in the big way, Mike.
All right, that's big. I might need a neurological workup because I'm not kidding. I heard a sentence. That was crazy.
It's been known to happen.
Oh,
hey, so tell us about, and we want to hear about the 40-year-old boy podcast. Tell us about how you, I love the title, always have. How did you decide on the title and what do you talk about it? Tell listeners what, if they go find the 40-year-old boy podcast, what they can expect.
Well, first of all, I don't like that if. when you go find the 40-year-old boy podcast. You know, it's a show, it's about my life. And that's all it is. It's literally, it's talking at the speed of my head is what I call it. Love and there's no script. There's no, I don't have prompts. I just kind of open up the microphone and then I talk until I'm done. And I will tell you this, I haven't put one out in like a month. So people are furious at me right now. And that's my own fault, but there will be a new one up shortly. Don't yell at me, everybody who's new. Yeah. But, I started the show. I'm in year 14.
Jeez.
So, yeah, it's been a while and it was funny because in the beginning, you know, it was called the 40-year-old boy. And I will tell you this, it hasn't been a true 14 years. It's been with, you know, with clip shows and stuff. It's been almost 16 years I've been doing it. So when I started the show, I was the 40-year-old boy. Things have changed a bit the way the calendar works. So people still ask me all the time. They're like, oh, you're going to change the name. I'm like, that branding, I can't. No, it's too clean. I mean, I love the name and I'm never going to change it. Right.
And you're basically 16 in your brain. So it still works.
Yeah. Always, always and forever. Absolutely. And when I started the show, it was a thing where I was on another podcast and then wound up no longer working with those people. And then I wanted to do one and I had people who liked me from that show and wrote me all the time. You got to do a show. You need to do your own show, do a show. And I just was like, I can't compete. The other one's the gold standard. And I was down on myself. And then a listener, a guy who had listened to me on that show, Eric, I'll shout him out. Eric Butterfield, great guy. He
great
reached
name.
Out to me. Yeah. And he said, listen to me. I will come to your house with the equipment.
Oh, dude.
I will plug it in. You will do your show. I will leave. I will edit if we need to edit and I will post it in iTunes, whatever you need me to. Cause all I do is talk, Pete. I'm plug and play. I don't know how to push a button. I don't know. I barely know how to use a pen. So he's like, yeah, I'll just do it. I'll go ahead. At that point, if you don't do that, you're just a coward at that point. Right. I mean, is this guy's going to do all the work except for the part I said I could do? So I had to say yes. And I had no idea what it was going to be. The night before he came over, I was up with a legal pad, just talking and writing whatever I said in longhand on the legal pad. Because I thought I might forget it the next day. You know, I didn't trust my own instinct and I wasn't sure what, because again, a solo show is different, as you know, hosting one.
Yeah.
Especially when it's just you and a microphone and I was ready. And then the next day, you know, it's funny because it's evolved. The first episode is like 25 minutes, I think. And I told a story about something that had recently happened. And, you know, it's now evolved to the point where, I mean, I've done 4-hour shows.
It's legendary. Hey, Mike, can you hold that thought for 1 second? We got to do a break, but we got a lot of time. You're going to help me close the show. We're going to pick it up right where we left off. The 4-hour podcast. That's where we'll start. Mike Schmidt is with me. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The U.S., the U.K., and several other nations launched retaliatory strikes against multiple Houthi targets in Yemen following months of the Iran-backed rebels' attacks on commercial ships in the Red Sea.
Our team on the ground in Yemen reports that five cities have now been targeted and hit, including the capital. But the Houthis have been defiant, adamant that they will push back and counter any American aggression. They say they will not back down.
ABC's chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce. The Pentagon's inspector general will investigate the mishandling of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's hospitalization. Hunter Biden pleaded not guilty today to federal tax charges at his arraignment in L.A. The FAA is looking into whether Boeing failed to make sure a panel which blew off an Alaska Airlines 737 MAX 9 in mid-flight was up to regulatory standards. Stocks closed slightly higher today. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu says a plan to create state-run dispensaries for medical marijuana is a non-starter. Assembly Republicans included the dispensaries in their medical marijuana bill released Monday. Lemahieu says it goes against his goal of shrinking state government. He says that he still sees good things in the bill and that a compromise can still be reached. A new report shows that 25 S&P 500 firms with the highest paid CEOs perform worse than average. Rosanna Landis Weaver is a shareholder advocate.
We look at a period of history when America was a leader in creating solid middle class jobs, but also industry growth. Companies plowed back any excess money into the company.
Shareholders can vote against CEO pay packages, and some companies have changed their practices. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue into Saturday. Snow developing late tonight, low in the upper 20s. Then snow showers Friday into Saturday, heavy at times, accumulations 8 to 12 inches. Strong wind gusts above 30 miles an hour will create significant blowing snow. It's 28 degrees right now.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. We are broadcasting live from the City Deck Landing Studios at WGBW in beautiful downtown Green Bay, statewide. And my guest right now is Mike Schmidt, the comedian and host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. So, Mike, you were saying how you have no format, and you said you just barely mastered the pen, and then technology kind of took off. Darn the luck. But you have this fan or this guy who just had to get your voice out there, and he did everything for you.
He was very nice. Yeah, he came, and I recorded the first one. And he lasted, I will tell you this is true, he lasted 7 episodes. And I would go to, he lived in, well, you know where I live, in the valley. And he lived not Victorville, but like way out in the sticks. Oh, wow. I don't want to say where, although he's moved now. But and so I would go record with him at his place. And the show gradually, like I said, was 22 minutes the first week. And then it was 30. And then it was 40. And then it was 45. I was finding my way a little bit.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I was finding my way. And his wife was not very happy about that, that I would be finding my way in her house. And she came home a couple times, and you could just tell that sour, just furious, like for no reason. And she would call me his hobby. What time is your hobby leaving? Oh. When is your hobby taking off? Yeah, it was brutal,
dude.
Oh, dear. And finally, after the 7th one, he told me, he's like, I can't, man. My wife just isn't up for it anymore. And because also, he's in Ventura. I apologize. So he had to drive to me, and then I had to drive to him. You know, it was like
65. And then you're doing a 4-hour broadcast.
Well, no, not for him yet.
Okay.
So the 7th episode, she was like, that's it. And he's like, Mike, I'm out. And I just thought the show was done. Because again, I don't know how to do anything, man, except talk. So, but the people liked the show. They were enjoying it. And I had a Hail Mary. I had a friend named David Lawrence, who was a big radio guy. And his wife at the time, Lily von Stupp, was his producer. I reached out to them and I said, hey, would you know anything about how I'm supposed to do this? And Lily's like, well, I could help you produce it, like if you wanted to come over. And she produced the show for the next 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I would just go to her place and I would talk. And I will tell you this, she also changed the show fundamentally, because Eric, when I would talk, he thought I was really funny, but he didn't think he should laugh because we were recording. So I would be talking, and again, I'm talking to nobody, as you know, a single person
track.
Show. Right. And then as you're a comedian, you're kind of expecting feedback sometimes. So to just talk into space and get nothing in the beginning was very odd, especially when I could see a guy across the room holding his face, trying not to laugh out loud, like, you know what I mean? And I would even say to him, you can laugh, dude, you can laugh. It's totally fine. You know, nobody's going to be mad. So when I did it with Lily for the first time, she has an amazing laugh. And for some reason, she thinks I'm hysterical. So I would talk and she would laugh, and it opened up everything for me.
Wow.
Because as you know, as a comedian, when people are laughing, you're rolling, and you feel maybe I can go deeper on this topic, or maybe go somewhere here. I can expand or have fun. And so that's what I started to do, because I was, she was solely my audience at that point. I knew people were getting it when they downloaded it, but I was performing for her to make her laugh. And she let me, I would go on these pinwheel turns, and I'd sub reference myself, and I'd tell a story, but in the middle of it, I'd digress and come back. And she had a notepad, and she'd just be writing down the silliest non sequiturs to name the episode. And she'd be laughing at like every dumb thing I said. And it makes you want to keep talking.
Yeah.
It makes you want to keep going. And it made the show grow in this exponential way, where I was on fire. I felt like I couldn't be funny enough. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so she truly helped me. And like I said, she did it for the next 8 years, and then she had some physical problems and she had to leave. And now the show is literally me at a table. And so
no laughter, you got someone producing her?
No, sir.
Oh,
no,
wow.
I didn't know how to do anything. And she said to me, look, you're going to do this. And she, you know, had a notebook paper with a crayon so I could understand it, and just, you know, push this button, do this here. And so she taught me how to use a program called Audacity, and she taught me how to upload it to my RSS feed, and then all that stuff. And so I've been doing it promoting, you know, producing it, but not even producing it, pushing four buttons, dude. There's no producing.
Well, you threw out the rolling writer. That's the important part. And you dug your heels in.
I moved up to the paper mate now. I'm very excited about that.
So part of what makes your, because you're right, Mike, you're just one of those guys that can start talking and you're just hilarious. And what you bring to that podcast, and I don't even know if you've told these stories on the podcast, but you have stories that are so great. And I've only heard you tell one of these that I'm going to bring up, but so I'm hoping you'll tell the one where you played hooky from school and your friend told you to go hang out at his house. Can you tell us that story?
Sure. You know, it's funny because that was a story I had told on the previous podcast, and people went and they really went crazy for it. And it's funny, podcasting changed me in a fundamental way too, because as a stand-up, I worked topical. I didn't feel there was anything interesting about me. And also I was a big fat dude and I didn't want to write about being a big fat dude. So I wrote political stuff. I wrote topical material. And then when I started doing podcasting, I would talk about my life and tell stories or whatever, even in short form or long form. And people responded to them in a really big way. They thought it was funny or strange or crazy. Cause you know, Pete, we've all lived the lives we've lived. You know, whether you were raised in a commune or you lived in a neighborhood that was gentrified, or you know, I was raised by a single mom with four brothers, and she might have been involved with some crimes. You know what I mean? So I started to tell stories on, and people responded, and then it made me shift and start talking about my life, and that's opened the floodgates for the podcast. Yeah, when I was in high school, this is how long ago this was. My younger brother was a freshman, and he was a lunatic. I mean, he was just I mean, I thought I was bad, you know, I mean, and he's just bananas. He was a bananas kid and he would get in trouble. And so, Ronald Reagan was going to come to our school.
Whoa.
And he was going to give a speech. This is when he was president, obviously. He was still alive at the time. Otherwise, boy, I'll tell you what, that would have been a terrible assembly. Oh my goodness. How bad is that assembly? Just put him on the podium. Prop his arm up. So there was an assembly where they announced it and everybody went crazy. But then some teacher said that they saw my brother say bang, bang. And so they suspended him. Yeah. They suspended him from school. And then
that'll do it.
Right. Right. And he didn't, they just didn't want his goofy ass in the school, you know? So I then defended him. And then I was suspended. But when we were suspended as kids, we never told our mom. Because we were, you know, latchkey kids, single parent. My mom worked 8 to 5 at Jewel at the grocery store.
Wow.
So, yeah. So we would, sometimes my mom would, you know, what she would do is she would go to work in the morning. We'd leave for school and go hide. And then she would leave for work. And then we would just come back in and hang out at home all day. Because my mom was not exactly attentive to my educational career. This is completely true. I went to high school for 5 years. Because I was having so much fun, I stayed. And my mom in 5 years never once asked if I had homework. Like it was, she could not, my mom had a boyfriend, plural, and enjoyed getting high and had a job. So she was like, don't knock anybody up. That was my whole high school advice from my mom.
She did all that because she had four boys.
Exactly. Yeah, she's a single mom. I can't hold it against her. Sure. What the hell?
That's fine.
All right. So I had 2 days though, I was suspended for a full week, 5 days. And 2 of the days, my mom was going to be off work. So I had to find something to do. And you know, you can only wander around your neighborhood like the little rascals long enough before somebody sees you or you know what I mean? It's cold outside. You're like, oh, what am I going to do? So I left the first day and I was walking in my neighborhood, called Winston Woods. It was a big, you know, community. And as I'm leaving, I pass a schoolmate's house. And his little brother is leaving for school because their school starts later than the high school.
Did you say schoolmate? Was this 1881 when this happened?
It was.
So my schoolyard chums happened to... Sorry.
He was out on the porch making soap. And I happened by. So I said, hey, Chuck, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm going to school. And I said, who's home? And he goes, nobody. And I go, Chuck, I have to ask you a huge favor. I missed my bus and I have a friend who's coming to pick me up and take me to school, but it is freezing and I don't want to wait outside. Is there any way I could just wait in your house and I'll just lock up when I leave? And he goes, and he was an eighth grader and I was a senior in high school. So there was that hint of malevolence in my request, probably. And he's like, yeah, that's no problem. Go ahead. You know, he knew I knew his older brother, and he knew my younger brothers. So it was like, we were family. So he's like, sure, go ahead. And he opens the door and I walk in. I go, all right, man, I'll be here like 10 minutes. My friend's going to come. And I close the door behind him and I turn around and I go, I just bought a house. And
you're Macaulay Culkin right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's nobody there. And so I, now you would expect me to just go, you know, sit in the living room and wait for the day to end. But again, I've never been in this house. I don't know what they have in here. I need to look around. I need to check it out. I need to make sure there's nothing dangerous I could stumble upon. But first, I am famished. So I go in the kitchen and they have Cocoa Pebbles and milk. And that's really all you need to start your day. Oh, yeah. So I eat half the box of Cocoa Pebbles, pour a big ass mixing bowl and just and wolf it down. And I spend the rest of the day going through the house. I go up. I go through their drawers. I look in their closets. I find their you know, condoms. I find whatever I find in the, and then I go downstairs and they had a dog and you know, I'm nice to the dog, but I turn on, I watch TV. They had a ham. I made a ham sandwich out of the ham that they had in the fridge. I cut off chunks of the ham. I stayed there the entire day, the whole day. And then I left when it was time to go home for school. And I, you know, didn't think anything of it. The next day, I leave my house and I go right there. And Chuck is on his way out of the house. And I'm like, Chuck, you got to do me a favor. And he's like, what's up? And I go, it's, you know, it's crazy. I, you know, my friend is going to pick me up. We don't have to be in school until later today. But unfortunately, I can't go back to my house. Can I come in your house again? And then I'll lock up. And he's like, yeah, you locked up yesterday. It's fine. And he lets me in the house.
Did someone break in and make a ham sandwich?
Dude, I'm in the house.
Keep it clean.
I called a sex line. I called a 900 sex line. Oh my like, gosh. I'm up in the master bedroom. And I call and, you know, she's like, ooh, why, you know, you're calling early or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'm a lawyer in my office. I got to talk. And then I'm literally going to do the thing you would do if you call a sex line. Like, I haven't called her to have a conversation, really. I mean, there's a goal in mind.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden it just seizes me. I'm like, you, dude, you can't do that here.
Right.
You know, to be micro about it in their bed, but in the macro, in their house, like, it's just wrong. I did not know
this is part of the story.
The first scintilla of shame grabbed me. Right. And I was like, all right, enough. And I'm on the phone and I'm upstairs and I get up and I'm like, all right, I can't do this. And I hear the garage door open downstairs. And it's a townhouse. All right. So if you go down the stairs, it's two stairways, one and then it empties out right by the front door in the garage, the den where you enter from the garage. So I'm like, I'll never make it because I don't know what's happening. And I hear a car pull in and I lay down on my stomach, like on the top of the landing, and I hear the door open and I see the mom.
All right. I'm going to stop you right there. We have to take a 60-second break, Mike. Do not go anywhere. The exciting conclusion is coming up to Mike's story where he was using his friend's house so rudely. My guest is Mike Schmidt, the host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. He's coming right back for the end of that story. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Going to wrap my arms around you and hold you close to me. Oh, baby, I want to taste your lips. I want to be a fantasy. Yeah. You're not just another lover, no, you're everything to me. Every time I'm with you, baby, can't believe it's true. When you lay in my arms and you do the things you do, you can see it in my eyes, I can feel it in your touch.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On The Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, WGBW.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back. My good friend Mike Schmidt is joining me here for the home stretch of Nightlight tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Regardless of weather, regardless of the snowpocalypse, I'm sure you don't miss the bad weather, Mike.
It's funny. We have a frost warning here, and I'm going, where can I move now? I don't, you know, what's left?
Yeah, you literally live right down the street from me. I'm so envious sometimes during winter. You have no idea. All right, let's not get sidetracked. You're in your friend's house. You're Macaulay Culkin, using the house in every way possible, almost. And then your friend's mom comes home,
and I'm upstairs. I'm laying on the landing, and I look, and I see her walk in. She goes right into the kitchen. And again, it's a townhome, so it's not huge. You know what I mean? There's a living room, dining room, and I'm upstairs, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea because upstairs. It's let's make a deal. I got three bedrooms and a bathroom. You know what I mean? Where am I going to, how could I possibly hide in this place? Cause I don't want to hide in the younger kids' room. Cause in case, what if she's home to pick up stuff for the kids? Again, I don't know what she's there for. Other than the fact that it's her home, probably that's, I don't know why I'm indignant at this point. What are you doing?
What is
here?
Her problem?
What is she thinking? So she's walking around downstairs and I'm laying petrified. Like, I don't know what to do. And I know if I get up and walk into a room, you know, it's creaky. Who knows? It's going to be heard. She's going to hear me. But I have to do something other than lay there and hope that she doesn't come upstairs. And she's making something probably to eat in the kitchen. I hear clanging dishes and opening the fridge and stuff. And I hear
just being rude.
Yeah. What's she thinking? Again, seriously, middle of the day. Come on. Don't you people have jobs? So I finally go, all right, you know what? I gotta hide in the bathroom. I mean, I can't hide in her bedroom.
Right.
And she's got a bathroom attached to it. So I figure I'm okay. I mean, if anything happens, she comes upstairs, she's going to go in there and do whatever she's got to take care of. So I go in, I get up really slowly and I'm trying to time it between noise. Like when she goes to the kitchen to like wash a plate, I kind of stand up. Because the sink's on and I hope she can't hear anything. And I walk as slowly as I can and I get into the bathroom. And like I said, I hear her downstairs doing stuff. And all of a sudden, I hear footfalls on the stairs.
Oh, no.
And I don't know what to do. I can't close the door. I can't make any real sudden movements. There's only one thing I can do. And I get in the shower. Behind the shower curtain. And I'm just standing there.
This is so creepy. Like, dude, if she had any idea.
So she come again, she's upstairs and I guess she goes into her room and then I hear her just moving around, milling about. I don't know. And then the phone rings, she takes a phone call. And I'm trying to hear if she's like, I'm home now or I'll be back to the office soon. I mean, I have no idea.
Gonna pop into the bath.
Also in my brain, which is going a thousand miles a minute, I'm like, how do I get out of here if she stays?
Yeah.
Like I, in my brain, I'm like, cause there's a window upstairs and I'm like, and I'm not joking, in your ear head, I'm doing all kinds of Lee Majors Fall Guy. I'll go out the window and barrel roll down the roof of the garage and hit the ground running and be gone. But I'm standing in the shower and she comes in the bathroom. Their bathroom, not her bathroom, into the bathroom.
Oh my
God. I am in. And
what is this woman's problem?
Well, I'll tell you what, when she came into the bathroom in my brain, I'm pouring sweat, dude, pouring sweat. But also I'm like, I'm hoping sweat, like in a movie when that one rogue drop falls and ding and everybody goes, what the hell? And so I'm standing frozen. I'm so frozen, but, and I'm like, well, I don't even know, this is it. And, she uses the bathroom for its intended purpose.
Oh, dear.
And she's sitting, I mean, she's a good, she's maybe half a foot away from me. Between the only thing between me and her is shower curtain and
gosh.
Opportunity. Yeah. And and she sits there and takes care of and is done, and then stands up, and I'm frozen, and I'm sure she can hear my heartbeat. I mean, how could you not? It is throbbing in my head. And she washes her hands, so good for her.
Sure.
And it's very important hygiene. And and then she walks out, and I hear her again shuffling around the upstairs, and I'm not moving. I'm frozen in place. And I think I hear her go downstairs, but I'm not sure. And it seemed like forever, but it was probably only like 5 or 6 minutes. I hear the garage door go up.
Oh my gosh.
And the car start. And then she, and I stayed up there for another, just
six
to hear the door close.
Right.
I'm still there. We're broadcasting live from my friend's house. And I carefully exited my knees were knocking. Like, it was so crazy. I walked out of the bathtub. And I went and I walked downstairs and I looked around and she was gone. And I had dodged what probably was the biggest bullet of my life up to that point.
So you made a ham sandwich and got the heck out of Dodge.
I'm not joking. I made two ham sandwiches and I grabbed a bottle of Pepsi and I got the hell out of the house.
I can't believe, Mike, look at the questions I had for you. I can't believe we have to go. You got to come back like soon. Cause you have a story about playing basketball with girls. Mike Toomey told me to ask you about. So I got to ask you that next time. That was so awesome. Thank you so much. And I'm glad that we got around the dig you in the big way stuff. It reminded me of when Martin Short was on David Letterman and he said, Dave, I just occurred to me, you and I have never hugged publicly. And Letterman cuts him off and says, never hugged, period. We've never hugged. So I thought that was our moment there.
It was.
This was so fun, dude. Thank you so much for being here. And you
I am
come back
so
soon.
Happy that you have a gig. I am so happy that you asked me to be on it, Pete. I love you, and I'm so happy for you.
I love you too, buddy. Let's do it soon. I'm serious. Like maybe a couple of weeks. Come back
anytime.
Tell the
I'm
girls
here.
Basketball. All right. Awesome. Check out the 40-year-old boy podcast. Mike Schmidt. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks, dude.
So there you go. That's that guy knows how to nightlight. That was hilarious. So I don't even know where to start. There's so many Mike Schmidt stories. So we'll do that again soon. But thank you so much to Mike Schmidt, the very incredibly interesting John Gerta. I love listening to John talk, and Brittany Merlot. Thank you for your texts, and have a great night, everybody. Good night, Wisconsin.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.